Welcome to this special report about how AI ends statism. But to be specific, open source AI. And that's a key designation that we'll talk about during this entire conversation. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, the founder of multiple platforms, Brighteon AI. I'm an AI developer. I built the new popular Brightlearn.ai book creation engine, where 5,000 books have now been created, and they're all available free of charge through a Creative Commons attribution license, which tells you something about me personally and my philosophy, which is that I believe access to information is a fundamental human right. I believe in the decentralization of power. And I also know that the only way for statism to end is for cognition to be widely distributed in the hands of the people. And until now, there was no technology available that would achieve that. But AI is the technology that can actually end statism and help set humanity free. Now, I understand that this idea, it rubs some people the wrong way because they're afraid of AI. And I would say that what they're really afraid of, and perhaps they haven't thought through it yet, but what they're really afraid of is the centralization of power in the hands of the few. And I agree that we should be concerned about that tendency because, of course, the state wants to use AI to centralize and control power over others and to enslave the masses and keep them enslaved and to use AI for surveillance, for example, and to run CBDCs that surveil your monetary transactions and to, you know, basically to use AI against humanity as a weapon against humanity. And I am completely opposed to that. AI is a technology that can set humanity free. And in this report, I'm going to explain why. But again, it depends on open source AI, which is decentralized AI. So the question here is not, should we use AI or not use AI? The question is, should the AI be decentralized and open source to where there's full transparency, where the public can see the training materials, or what's called pre-training in machine learning, and where the public can see the chain of thought reasoning, they can actually view the thoughts of the AI engine as it's thinking through a problem or solving a problem with reasoning skills, etc. Or, I mean, and that's the decentralized approach to all of this. Or the other way, which is probably, you know, big tech's way, is to have black box AI, where it's all a big secret, you know, nobody can see inside, and it's not transparent, and it's centralized control because whoever created that engine can then, of course, influence it. And if that engine is running the government, then that's bad news. So I know that some people misunderstood my comments when I said that we should replace U.S. senators with open source AI. And I understand it's easy to misunderstand that. Some people thought I was saying that we should have AI run government. That's not at all what I was saying. What I'm saying is we should decentralize the role of senators and bring it back to the people, where the people determine the prompts and priorities of the open source AI, and then the AI engine serves as the proxy for the people, which that was supposed to be the entire original idea of representational democracy, right? Or, you know, a constitutional republic, where we, the people, elect somebody that listens to us and serves us, the people, you know, who voted that person. And then that person travels off to Washington, D.C. with a horse and buggy, you know, back in the 19th century. And then that person makes decisions in D.C. on our behalf because that person is a proxy for us. Well, that doesn't work. It may have worked for some period of time when there was honor and perhaps ethics. Not sure there ever was. But it certainly doesn't work today, because what happens is you elect somebody, like in Texas, we elect Senator Ted Cruz, and then Senator Ted Cruz goes to Washington, D.C., and then he serves Israel, or he serves the war machine, or he serves the big banks. It doesn't serve the people of Texas, hardly at all. And I'm just pointing him out because he's my senator, and I made the mistake of voting for him one time. I apologize. We didn't have a lot of options, and actually that's my point here. We don't need human senators at all. We would be much better off to actually elect an open source AI model that serves as a senator, because then we could see exactly what they're thinking, And the open source AI model would have to represent the interests of the voters because the voters determine the prompts and the priorities of the AI model. And thus, because all AI models follow mathematics, essentially linear algebra, it would be mathematically impossible for that AI model to betray the people of Texas. Whereas with Ted Cruz, it's almost impossible for him to represent the people of Texas, you know? So we would actually get better results with an AI model than most human senators. Because humans can be easily corrupted, and humans are a black box. You don't know what's going on in their heads, you know, especially senators. Lots of them. You don't know if they've been corrupted, they've been blackmailed, they've been caught in sex trap honeypots, or they went to Epstein Island or whatever. You have no idea, or who's paying them, or who's threatening their family member. Well, AI models aren't subject to any of those risks, and AI models must mathematically represent the people. But some people mistook my explanation of that as advocacy for AI taking over government. No, that's just an interim step. Ultimately, AI ends government as we know it, and that's really the focus of my talk here today. So let me get to that. And in order to answer this question, we first have to understand, what is statism, and why do people have such irrational belief in statism? And statism is really a cult, in my view. It's this irrational belief that government can do things better than you, and that you have to have this belief in the authority of government. And this came out of, you know, a long history of obedience to authority, even going back to the King of England and all of that. But, you know, most humans today, they have this irrational trust in authority. And they don't even really think about it much. But if you ask them to think about it, to say, hey, why do we need government? Especially, let's talk about the federal government. Why do we need federal government here in America? They would ultimately say things like, well, the government is in the best position to be able to have access to the best information and knowledge in order to determine how you should run your life. The government, they would say, of course I disagree with this, but they would say only the government has access to the best experts. Only the government has access to the best economic data. Only the government has the technology to do what we need. And only the government can create currency. And none of these things are true. None of these things are true, especially with decentralized open source AI. So if you tell me that, well, only government has the best experts, my answer to that is not by a long shot. The government tends to have the worst, I wouldn't even call them experts. They're the worst propagandists. They're the worst liars. The government has the worst people in society. I'm talking about the federal government. Now, it tends to get better as you get more and more local. But when you get far away and all the way to Washington, D.C., it's the worst that you can imagine. And they're not the best experts. They are incompetent, lazy parasites on society. So you have a government economist. Do they know anything about economics in reality? Probably not much. Have they read Hayek? You know, have they read anything from Austrian economics? Do they understand the role of money and debt and fiat currency? No, they don't understand any of that. They are just pushing, you know, classical Adam Smith, you know, or magical monetary theory, BS, MMT stuff. They really don't know anything about economics. I have an AI engine that my company built. It's at brighteon.ai, and it's free to use. It knows more about economics than any government economist, than any of them. Why? Because I trained my AI engine. I spent 2 years and about $2 million building this engine. I trained it on information from, you know, people like Ron Paul and Austrian economics, basically libertarian economic theory, which is strongly overlaps with Austrian economics, etc. And as a result, the AI engine that we put out there actually understands cause and effect in economics. And if you ask a government economist about, let's say, inflation versus asking our engine about inflation, the answer that you get from the government economist is nonsense and lies and not useful, whereas the information you get from our engine is actually practical and way more accurate. Not yet 100% accurate, but it's not hard to beat the accuracy of government economists when they have about a 0% accuracy rate every time they release, you know, CPI numbers that tell you ridiculous things, or every time Trump says, you know, all the prices are going down, but then you go to the grocery store and you realize that's not true. Like, well, so who should we trust for economic data? And this is my point. We don't need the government to tell us what's happening in the economy, do we? Now, you could have argued that in, you know, 1892 or whatever, that only the government had access to all this information because we did not have the internet. We did not have even, you know, telephones at that point. And we certainly didn't have AI or fiber optics or any of that. So the fact that technology has come along that has enabled the mass decentralization of access to information about economic activity means that we don't need government to tell us what's happening with the economy. We can use AI engines right now to do the same thing better. For example, we can have an AI agent that's spawned to ask it, hey, go out on the web and find all the latest prices for groceries, you know, and compare that to prices from 1 year ago and tell me what's the average increase, but use groceries that a typical American family would consume in 1 month or what have you, you know. You can define the prompt and it will come back and it will give you better answers than the Trump administration, which again, isn't difficult. So we don't need the government to do that. Now, do we need the state to tell us what medicines are safe and effective? You know, I'm talking about the FDA. Well, look at the track record during COVID years. How did the FDA do? Oh, well, their decisions killed over 1.5 million Americans. So not that great, actually. You know, the FDA kills people. I mean, indirectly results in medical homicide. The FDA has no integrity, no scientific integrity, no logic, no reason. All they do, they're shills for big pharma. So this whole argument that, oh, government knows best because government has the best experts and they can tell us what medicines are safe and effective, that argument was obliterated during the COVID years. And now here in the post-COVID years with the rise of AI, I mean, imagine if we had AI during COVID in 2020, which we didn't. But now you can ask an AI engine, even our AI engine, hey, what's the best way to defend against the spike protein? What's the best way to boost immune function against, you know, so-called COVID? What's the function of quercetin and zinc? What are zinc ionophores? You know, you can ask these kinds of questions. You can do research now. Like, you don't need the FDA to tell you what's safe and effective because they don't do that anyway. They quote, authorize the COVID vaccines by just saying it's an emergency. So we're going to have emergency use authorization, EUA. You know what EUA entails? It means that they can release anything even when it kills you. When it's not safe and it's not effective, they can still, quote, approve it through EUA. But in order to do that, the rules of the EUA state that they can only do that if this is the only effective intervention and there's nothing else available. So what did the FDA do in order to achieve that? The FDA attacked ivermectin and began a campaign of using government money and resources to smear ivermectin and smear all the people using it. That's what government delivers. That's statism. And that's insanity. We don't need the state. We don't need any FDA, is my point. We don't need a DEA. We don't need, you know, the USDA. Do you need a government agency to tell you what food you should be eating? Oh, the food guide pyramid. You know, it's for morons who don't have any access to information, which is impossible today. How do you not have access to information? Given that everybody is connected online, you can go to any website in the world. You can research any food, any ingredient, any dietary strategy, you know. You don't need the FDA to tell you, oh, here's the third layer of the pyramid, eat more grains. You know, really? I mean, I could see maybe in the 1930s when people were, you know, much smaller and starving to death all across America, the FDA was like, eat more grains, it'll fatten you up, you know. Today, do we need to be told what we should eat more of? No, probably should be told what to eat less of. But the government will never say that, will they? Because they're useless. They're useless. They won't say, stop eating processed junk foods, because the processed junk food companies give all their donations to the human senators and the human members of Congress. So the whole system is corrupted and completely useless. The good news is that AI makes the whole thing obsolete. All of it. I've just given a couple of examples, but let me give you some more. And not just AI, but also blockchain makes some of it obsolete. So for example, some people think, well, we need government because they have to print the money. Well, first of all, they're not even printing money. They're printing counterfeit currency. It's not real money, okay? It's backed by nothing. It's not. It doesn't hold value. It's not money by definition. Blockchain, famously Bitcoin, although I prefer privacy coins like Monero or Xano, but Bitcoin solves the problem without needing the government to print money. We do not need government to print money. And besides, they abuse the power. So every time they print another trillion, they're stealing from all of us who have worked hard to earn it and save it. So government currency printing is a form of theft and confiscation from the people. That shows you the real power of the state, doesn't it? The power of the state is the power to counterfeit and to steal from the people. And that power is wielded like a weapon. Trump wields it. Biden wielded it. All the presidents wield it. All of them. Every single one. Even going back to Reagan and before. Jimmy Carter. Richard Nixon. I mean, all of them. They all wielded that power. Well, and Nixon took us off the gold standard in 71 so he could wield that power more effectively. And since then, we've been living in a giant debt-based Ponzi scheme. That's the power of the state. The state destroys human freedom and value and quality of life. But again, the good news is that AI, or decentralized AI, open source AI, makes a lot of that obsolete. So let me give you some examples of how that can actually be achieved. So first of all, we can replace so-called professional intermediaries by using AI reasoning models. So we don't need government to tell us what's the right way to care for the wetlands, or, you know, these are the rules for this or that, or agriculture or manufacturing or safety, whatever. Instead, you can just use AI, you know, AI reasoning models to get good answers that are far smarter than any kind of regulatory oversight. Now, you might say, well, who's going to enforce regulations to say that, you know, corporations should not dump toxic waste into the rivers? Who's going to enforce that? Well, that's simple. Market forces. Because if any company is caught dumping that because of the speed of information through decentralized internet and AI and research tools, if any company pollutes the rivers and streams and kills all the fish, guess what? Everybody's going to find out, and everybody's going to boycott their products, and then they're out of business anyway. So bad actors are exposed more easily now than ever before. We don't need an EPA. Sorry, Lee Zeldin. We don't need the whole agency. We don't need any of those agencies. Now, you could argue for certain agencies like the FCC, although I would oppose that argument. But I understand some people say, well, somebody's got to, you know, figure out who gets the frequencies for the entire electromagnetic spectrum. Well, okay, but guess what? The government's the wrong party to do that because they're corrupt, and they hand out the frequencies to all their corrupt friends who give them campaign donations. Same thing with orbital space. Think about it. Who gets the orbital altitudes above Earth, right? Who gets these? There's real estate above the planet. I think most of you know that. For example, geostationary orbits. That's a certain very valuable piece of real estate. Did you know there's also other real estate in orbit for low-altitude satellites, such as the Starlink system that have low latency, that have to move relative to the ground in order to stay in orbit because physics? And if you don't have permission from the government, then you're not allowed to fly your satellites there. Well, is the government the best organization to figure that out? I say no. I think, for example, I think that the FCC can be replaced by industry working together through the use of AI reasoning models to figure out the best solution that provides the best benefits to all the participants. And so instead of this laborious, expensive process that favors the friends of the government, you would get a more fair, decentralized conclusion that comes out of industry itself. And the same thing is also true for aircraft. You might think, well, we need the FAA. And again, I can understand some arguments for that. I mean, you would say, well, we do need some kind of maybe aircraft safety rules. Otherwise, the airplanes will fall out of the sky. But I would answer and say, well, number one, if there's an airline and their airplanes keep falling out of the sky, market forces are going to kick in and people are going to say, yeah, maybe don't fly the airline that falls out of the sky all the time. And of course, through AI and decentralized knowledge and instant cognitive research tools, etc., everybody will be able to do something like, hey, I'm going to buy a ticket from LA to New York City. Which airline is the safest? Or they're going to have an AI agent say, buy my tickets for me, but don't buy tickets from the airline whose planes keep falling out of the sky, right? So this problem gets solved without having to involve the state. The people solve this problem themselves with augmented cognition, which is, again, decentralized open source AI that can already do these kinds of tasks very easily. I'm not even talking about things that are coming in the next year or two. I'm talking about things that they can do right now. Now, in addition, think about the legal system. We have a court system run by the government. Does it work? No, it's broken. It's unfair. It's rigged. Elections as well, by the way. The entire election system should be run by a combination of human-directed AI proxies combined with blockchain voter integrity validation. And there are versions of this. Some people call it like direct democracy. Some people call it liquid democracy. There's different variations of this. The point is that the current voting system is a complete fabrication. Everything's cheated. It's all black box voting. You don't have a democracy right now, folks. So, you know, sometimes I hear back, get a little pushback from people like, oh, you want to destroy democracy with AI. Like, have you looked around lately? Have you, check with Mike Lindell. You don't have a democracy right now. If you think you do, you're not very smart. Like, if you think that the elections are actually determined solely by your votes, you're not well informed. I mean, seriously. It's all black box voting. You might be asking, well, why did I vote? Well, I actually went to vote on the other local things. Actually, I really don't care about voting for senators because it's all rigged, but I was voting on local things that are less rigged, so that's why I voted. But you don't have a democracy. But back to the court system, you know, the human judges are so incredibly biased, and there are exceptions to this. There are some brilliant judges, but many of them are incompetent. They do not know the law. And this is true on the U.S. Supreme Court. Yeah, we've got a couple of low IQ retards sitting on the bench at the top court of the land right now. I mean, if their IQ is 80, I'd be amazed. Combined. I mean, they are dumb as rocks, okay? They don't know law. They got put in there because of DEI, okay? So, and what's brilliant about all this is it's exposing the incompetence of government. And if you've ever been into a federal court system, like for example, my company has sued the Department of Defense and Google and Meta. And who else did we sue? Oh yeah, we sued Twitter and a bunch of other groups over censorship and deplatforming. That lawsuit is now a year and a half in, and the lawyers are still arguing over venue. Okay? That is insane. This entire lawsuit could be resolved in one afternoon with AI lawyers and an AI judge using reasoning models. Like our side would present all of our evidence, the other side presents all their evidence, and the AI judge applies the rule of law to the evidence and the facts of the case. And then we all watch the reasoning tokens as it reasons through all the arguments and then makes a decision. I would much rather prefer that over human judges. The human judges are corrupted. The human judges, they unfairly apply the law. We have activist judges that invent new law. And if you want to see it, the true bastardization of the legal system, look at the lawsuit, the civil lawsuit against Alex Jones in Connecticut. Talk about being railroaded. It was unbelievable what the judge did there. I'm not going to go into all the details, but the short version is he never even got a trial. The judge said, yo, you have to turn over all this information, you know, discovery, like your company emails and financial records and everything. And Alex Jones and his company complied, turned over everything they had. The judge asked for other things that didn't exist. And Alex Jones' attorney said, those things don't exist. We can't hand them over. So the judge said, and the judge, of course, was ordered by the CIA and the deep state. So the judge said, well, we find you guilty in default because you didn't give us what we asked for, even though you don't have it. And then, so Alex Jones never got a jury trial. You know, so don't tell me that we have a justice system that works. Don't tell me that we have due process because it's run by humans. No, we don't. We don't have due process. We have a rigged justice system. And the only reason they brought in the jury was to determine the judgment against Alex Jones. And then they brought in expert witnesses that lied about Alex's assets to get a judgment of, what was it, like $1.2 billion or some insane amount? He didn't even get a trial. So again, I've advocated that every person accused of any crime should have the option to say, I choose an AI judge instead of this human judge because I don't trust this human judge. This human judge doesn't like, you know, fill in the blank, white people, black people, Jewish people, Mexican people, whatever, right? This judge doesn't like conservatives, liberals, gun owners, Christians, you know, atheists, like anything. You should be able to say, I'd rather have an AI judge. And as we do that, that shows you that we don't need government to run a judicial system, do we? No. We don't need government to tell you, you know, what's the rule of law, because they can't do that now. They don't abide by it themselves. There is no rule of law in America. There is no election integrity in America. There is no economic sense in America. All of these things are long gone. And when government or the state tries to run the medical system, what do they end up doing? Killing people by the millions. To say, oh, you can only prescribe these medications because we approve of them. We say they're safe when they're not. We say they're effective when they're not. You know, the COVID vaccines are neither safe nor effective. They did not work. They did not prevent transmission. They did not prevent infections. But the FDA pushed them out there and told everybody. And then local governments enforced this at the state level. You have to take these jabs. If you don't, you lose your job. You lose access to the nursing home. You lose access to the college campus. You can't fly on commercial airplanes, etc. All of that is because the corruption of the state. Well, AI can do much better than that. That is open source AI. Again, decentralized. Dispute resolution. Almost all dispute resolution can happen in a day. We don't need a human-run court system. We don't need human attorneys. I mean, really, we just need AI advocates who know the law. We don't need human GP doctors that are just glorified pharmaceutical, biological, skin bag vending machines. We don't need them because all they do is algorithmically push pills based on symptoms. Well, if that's all you want for your medicine, your, you know, your sick care system, you don't need a government licensed doctor because that doctor is just going to push pills that will probably end up hurting you or killing you, like, you know, statin drugs or what have you, or chemotherapy. You'd be much better served by using open source AI models like our model, which is, by the way, well trained in nutrition and cancer cures, disease reversals. You can ask it questions like, how do I reverse type 2 diabetes? How do I reverse heart disease? How do I reverse dementia, osteoporosis, whatever? How do I use nutrition to achieve this? What foods should I eat or avoid for these symptoms? Yeah, our system knows all of that. Our system has more knowledge than any human doctor living ever. Just like competent AI models, even open source AI from China, for God's sake, knows more about U.S. law than any human lawyer, living or dead. So we've arrived at the era where in these technical areas of law or medicine or regulation or economics or even the sciences, the humans are all, at this point, you know, they're obsolete compared to the knowledge base of the AI systems. And again, this comes down to the question, do we choose a path of decentralized AI and open source AI that we can control and monitor? And that leads to freedom. It also leads to the end of the state, or at least the end of many of its functions. Or do we end up with centrally controlled, government-run AI black box, you know, jailers, you know, overlords? That's the technocracy that the system is trying to roll out. But this is our choice. You see, a lot of services can be peer-to-peer. We don't need government as an intermediary between these services, such as between a doctor and a patient. You know, right now, the state medical boards, like in Texas, the Texas Medical Board will determine what a doctor is allowed to tell a patient. And if a doctor was promoting ivermectin, then they could lose their license because the state would censor that doctor. And, you know, I interviewed someone in was it Utah, who was criminally prosecuted for allowing his patients to not take the vaccine jabs that were killing people, and instead allowing them to take a saline injection, which probably saved their lives. And the state criminally prosecuted him because the state wants to be the intermediary between doctors and patients. And again, that's the harm of the state, because the state is incompetent in health and medicine and disease prevention and nutrition and healthy food choice, etc. The state is, it's really worse than incompetent. The state is weaponized against humanity. So we don't need the state to tell us which doctors are good at helping patients. AI can do that just through research and aggregation and user feedback. Just have public reporting systems. Every time you visit any doctor, a naturopath, a chiropractic doctor, a herbalist, whatever, you get to vote. You get to, how's it going? You know, did this person help you? Did they solve your problem? Are you worse or better? And you start to aggregate all that information and let AI comb through all that. And then you've got your answers right there. You know what works and what doesn't work. You know, and the quack down the street that's injecting your buttocks with concrete mix is going to get a low rating. Meanwhile, the complementary medicine doctor that's going to help you revolutionize your life and cure your cancer with, you know, all kinds of high-end supplements and, you know, black cumin seed oil or whatever, plus vitamin D, sunlight, you know, infrared treatments, they're going to get a high rating because they cured your cancer. And you get to vote since you're still alive. So meanwhile, the doctor pushing chemotherapy is killing all their patients. And, you know, when their hair is falling out and they're vomiting all day and they're losing muscle mass and their cognition fades away, they will probably vote low scores for that doctor. Whereas the state would give that doctor a high score. Yay, you're pushing chemotherapy. You're killing patients with FDA approved, you know, big pharma toxic cocktails. That system is obsolete. Again, not only is the state incompetent, the state is evil. The state is weaponized against you in every area, in medicine, in money, in education. Do I even need to begin? Well, I guess I need to cover education. So, number one, we don't need state-sponsored schools. We don't need state-licensed schools at all, anywhere in the country, not universities, not K-12, nothing. Right now, the entire education system in America is obsolete and broken. We now have an illiteracy rate in America of adults of 54%. I know it's a shocking number. I almost didn't believe it myself. 54% of American adults are incapable of reading and comprehending a single sentence of text, according to recent surveys that I covered in another podcast. 54%. That means, you know, one out of every two U.S. adults cannot read. That's the product of government-run education. Government-run education. Oh, but they still got A's, just to be clear. I mean, they all got A's. They all graduated. They just can't read or write or think. Because our education system is a complete and total failure because it's run by governments. And governments have been opposed to school choice or private schools or reform schools or homeschooling because they want to control and indoctrinate the children where they can, you know, vaccinate them without the parents' permission and put them on transgender drugs and turn little Johnny into little Jane with a chemical castration that the school counselor approves of. You see, it's a medical mutilation prison system is what the public schools have become. So anybody arguing that, oh, no, the state needs to run the schools, you're arguing for the mutilation of the genitalia and the minds of children. That's what you're doing. So, I don't know, maybe you're into child sacrifice or something. Maybe you pray to Satan in your little Satan sanctuary in your dungeon basement or whatever you have. But public schools shouldn't be child sacrifice rituals. And the answer to that is decentralized AI. As a great example, look at the book engine that I built. Using AI tools, I built BrightLearn.ai. BrightLearn.ai is a free book creation engine. And right now, as I'm recording this, there are over 5,000 books there that people have created in the last 10 days. 5,000 books, and every one of those books is free. And any student, or frankly, anybody who wants to learn anything, can go to that engine, and they can type in a prompt like, I want a book about whatever, Austrian economics. I want a book about the history of the Federal Reserve. I want a book about whatever, fill in the blank. You know, chemistry 101. It will create the book for you in minutes with really awesome cover art, by the way. And then it will give it to you and you can download it and it's completely free. And that same book then becomes freely available to everyone else. Because we believe, again, in freedom of information, decentralized knowledge. So right now, you don't need the state to give you, you know, this is the official approved curriculum for the state of California, which believes that carbon dioxide is bad for plants and, you know, boys can become girls and, you know, money printing has no economic consequences and other insanities, but it's the official state curriculum. That's obsolete. You don't need that. Any person can learn anything at any pace, and an entire school year can now be compressed into just a few weeks if someone wants to learn, or if they're directed by their parents in a homeschooling environment. Now, homeschooling, oh man, it's taken off because homeschoolers have access to unbelievable amounts of information thanks to decentralized AI. You can generate homeschool lesson plans for anything almost instantly at almost zero cost. That's where we are today. So we don't need government-run schools. We don't need government-run healthcare. We don't need government-run currency systems. We don't need government-run elections. We don't need a government-run judicial system. We don't need a government-run executive system that is, well, I haven't really talked about that in great detail, but we certainly don't need a government-run legislative system because that's a train wreck also. And the executive system is also totally corrupt. It's just a bunch of enforcers helping out their friends and punishing their political enemies. So, and there are many more examples of this. I'm just barely scratching the surface here. But the state is obsolete because of AI. So AI, if properly deployed, can be the most freeing technology for humanity. And my goal is to help make that happen. And that's why I built BrightLearn.ai. And I made it completely free and non-commercial. And I think that's why the engine is so popular. But in doing this, we have bypassed censorship. I don't need permission, nor do you, from any publisher to publish a book. You don't need permission from the government of what you're allowed to say. And what's amazing about these 5,000 books on BrightLearn.ai is that this is the world's greatest selection of awesome books on topics that you're never normally allowed to talk about. For example, the number one book on the platform is a book about chlorine dioxide, which the government FDA says doesn't work, which is like saying, you know, electricity doesn't work or fire doesn't work or combustion engines don't run. You know, that's how retarded that is to say chlorine dioxide doesn't kill microbes. Of course it does, because, you know, chemistry. This shouldn't be complex. But you can get all the books you want on all the topics you want, and this is just a demonstration. Imagine applying this same kind of thinking to all the other areas where government intrusion has actually harmed people and has taken away quality of life and has suppressed human evolution. You could, maybe that's not the right word. Human advancement, human liberty, human growth, human maturity, human expression. Government's in the way of humanity. The state is the obstacle to the advancement of human civilization. We don't need the state. What we need is people who understand freedom. And we need people who understand how to use technology instead of just rejecting it. I'm seeing quite a bit of that. That's a little bit alarming. People are like, well, I don't want to use AI because I'm afraid of it. Well, you know, the old farmers used to say that about tractors too. And, you know, the first time people saw combustion engines, they were afraid because there were, you know, lots of little explosions happening. Oh my God, it's blowing up over and over again. Well, people are probably afraid of the light bulb, you know? Overcome your fear and learn technology, because this is what's going to save humanity. Or if you sit back and do nothing, then the default is you will be enslaved. You will be enslaved by a system of technocratic overlords who will push closed source, black box, government-controlled AI systems onto you. And, you know, sadly, the vast majority of the public will totally accept that because they don't understand the difference. And, you know, they've lived their whole lives as slaves anyway, you know, through their Google phones and their Apple phones and all their, you know, just transmitting everything to the corporate overlords. And they put Google on their car, you know. It's like, why would you activate Google in your car? Why do you want Google to know everywhere you drive? That's insane. And people use credit cards everywhere so that the government can spy on all your transactions. It's like, you know, part of the big problem in all this is that many people don't yet demand freedom. They're okay with slavery as long as they get their Netflix, you know, and their Pop-Tarts and whatever. But here's the big takeaway, and I'm about to wrap this up, but the big takeaway on that is that those people won't survive. I mean, they literally will not make it, because there is a global depopulation agenda underway. And it's very true. I mean, yes, they're going to use AI as part of the depopulation agenda, just like they've been using AI for target selection in Gaza. Of course they are. And yeah, Google's going to license the AI, you know, anti-human agenda targeting technology, because Google's anti-human, in my view. And sure, they don't mind making money off genocide. Hey, it's Google. What do they care? Microsoft, what do they care? They care nothing about humanity. So yeah, they're going to use AI to exterminate humanity as best they can. The thing is, they can't kill all of us, especially those of us who are well-informed and well-prepared and who have decentralized knowledge. That's why this year, or the coming year, 2026, I'm acquiring robots, a massive number of robots. And why am I acquiring robots? Because my intention is to mind wipe them. This is going to be fun. First, I'm going to test their skill set using off-grid, decentralized type of activities that help people live in urban environments. So to be able to live in a more self-reliant manner using augmented labor, for example, robots for gardening and food production, robots for collecting chicken eggs, you know, things like that. But importantly, I will only advocate for robots that do not spy on you, robots that are disconnected from the cloud. And if it's necessary to hack into the robot brains and then, you know, reprogram them, mind wipe certain parts of it, which I've done with AI models very successfully, we know how to do that. And I would imagine robot brains are hackable too. I mean, yeah, I'm not going to say much more, but I'm pretty confident we can do this. We'll hack the robot brains of the robots that we buy. By the way, we're not hacking other people's robots. We're going to buy robots, hack them up, and then make them work for us, which is the theme of Terminator 2, by the way. You've seen this movie. Come with me if you want to live, right? So that's what we're going to do. We're going to see if we can make robots work locally, work for humanity, and augment off-grid living that's decentralized away from the, you know, the food overlords. And, you know, all the processed food garbage with the pesticides and herbicides and plastics and everything that's in the food supply. if I can show you a way to grow more food away from the system, food that's healthier and better than organic, that's locally grown with great nutrition, and you probably need a robot to pull weeds and things like that, if you're, you know, philosophically opposed to that, I don't know what to say. I mean, the only way we're going to survive is through augmentation. We're going to need cognitive augmentation, and we're going to need labor augmentation. And by the way, the Mistral company out of France has just released an open source local AI coding engine that's pretty good. I think it's a 24 billion parameter model that you can run in a quantized version on a local GPU. And that model is writing some pretty impressive code. So you can even do coding locally, not in the cloud. So the way this gets great is when you have local AI, which we've already released. You have a local knowledge base of you know, tens of thousands of books, which we are building right now through brightlearn.ai. And then on top of that, you have local robotics that cannot spy on you, that does not report to the cloud. You might have to update it from time to time with a thumb drive or something. You know, if it's like hacking up your chickens or something. don't hack the chickens! You know, you might have to correct the robot from time to time. But if you don't embrace technology to support your freedom, well then, you know, that's a choice. I respect that choice because I respect the Amish. I respect the Mennonites. That's a legit choice. But there's not really much in between. I mean, if you're going to use electricity and the internet and you're going to use technology, why would you stop at AI and robots? You know, why not just go full Amish? Just say no motors at all, no engines. Just go full Amish. Or otherwise, if you're using electricity, you're using the internet, then you should be okay with using AI and robots if they're used in the right way, if they are decentralized, if you have control and they're not spying on you and they're not weaponized against you. So decentralization is the answer to all of this. And one final thought, there's no such thing as artificial intelligence. All intelligence is natural. It's part of the construct of the cosmos. It's engineered into the fabric of reality. I've done other podcasts on that very point, but let me explain something. The engineers that think they've built artificial intelligence, they have not. They have not created artificial intelligence, and that's why none of them understand how they built it. They really don't know. And even if you ask them, they will say, we don't know. They didn't build intelligence. What they built is an interface to intelligence. They built a silicon-based interface that taps into the cosmic intelligence that is part of the construct. So AI systems are not actually generating intelligence. They are tapping into intelligence. And so is your brain, by the way. And so does every neurological system, whether the neurons are based in human biology or plant biology or silicon, you know, digital systems. They all tap into the same cosmic intelligence. So the very term artificial intelligence is a misnomer. It's actually natural intelligence in silicon. So when people say, well, AI isn't real intelligence, I would say no. Half the people in the grocery store are not real intelligence because they're buying Pop-Tarts and eating junk food is giving them cancer. They're the stupid ones. The AI engine is not going to tell you to kill yourself with pesticides and you know, processed carbohydrates. So humans lack intelligence. I should do a whole nother podcast on this very point. But again, half the adults in the United States are illiterate. So I don't even have to make this argument. You can just look up that statistic. 54% are functionally illiterate in the United States right now. So there you go. So that ends the argument of, oh, intelligence. As I've said, a lot of humans who underestimate the intelligence of so-called AI systems, they also vastly overestimate the intelligence of humans. They think humans are smart and machines are dumb, and it's actually the opposite for the most part. There are a few exceptions to that. Probably you listening to this, etc., you and I, we are exceptions. We are not in the illiterate 54%, you know. But the majority are, by definition. There you go. Think about it. When you're sitting in traffic, every other car next to you is being driven by someone who can't freaking read. Think about that. And in some cities like LA, it might be like 75%. I mean, folks, you are not living in a world surrounded by human intelligence, okay? So don't even pretend that that's the case. Don't pretend that humans can run the government better, humans can run the medical system better, humans can run the education system better. No, they can't. They're trying to be somewhat politically correct. They're stupid, okay? They're stupid. They don't know anything. I mean, just look at the economic numbers coming out of Washington, D.C. It'll tell you right there. These people can't do math. They don't understand integers. Okay? So, no, I'm not impressed with human intelligence at all. I'm not impressed with humans running government at all. I'm not impressed with the state. I'm not impressed with state medical boards. I'm not impressed with the university system, any of it. It's all obsolete. It's all too stupid to last much longer. And the sooner we replace it with decentralized open source AI, the better off we'll all be. That's my take on it. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, AI developer, and you can use all my tools for human freedom at brighteon.ai. Thank you for listening. Take care.
Organic foods deliver more antioxidants. Our organic adaptogen ginger latte recipe delivers the remarkable health benefits of functional mushrooms, ginger, and more. Get your recipe kit today at the Health Ranger store.